an injustice. What I mean is that I will entice them to accuse Umar radiallahu ta'ala of stealing and deceiving. What I mean is that I will entice them to that Usman radiallahu ta'ala of this and that crime. Say shaitan, I will incite them as the opportunity strikes. Usman was like this and Usman was like this and Usman was like that and so on. Or radiallahu ta'ala anhu, say shaitan of this and that crime. What I mean is that I will make them accuse and slander Ali radiallahu ta'ala of this and that sin. Na'uzu billah. Then say shaitan, thereafter I, meaning shaitan, thereafter I will go to a group of people of your ummah and I will incite them to raise and to praise Ali radiallahu ta'ala to extremist levels so that they love him excessively and they raise him to a higher pedestal and respect and honor than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam and Jibra'il and Mikail alayhi salatu wassalam alayhumas salatu wassalam, and that they bear tremendous adversity, antagonism and hatred and enmity towards Abu Bakr, Umar and Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and that they hold them in scorn and in contempt. These people, this particular group, will go on accusing, blaming and abusing your companions, your sahabas, as I instigate them towards it, until it becomes a permanent fixture and part of their religion for them, and they become firm on it until the day they die. This is my design for a party of your ummah. In this way, I will destroy all their good deeds and I will nullify all their prayers for forgiveness. Now tell me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the face of such contemptuous, harsh and despicable behavior and belief towards your sahabas, what forgiveness can there be for them from Allah ta'ala? There you are. This is the last portion of shaitan's design for man, plan for the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After describing what he is going to do to the old men, middle-aged men and young men of Islam, he explained to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his plan and his design for the old women, middle-aged women and young women of Islam. Then he explains about salah, what he's going to do with the musalli, male and female musallis, his plan for them, how he's going to make them put off their salah until the last minute, or make them inattentive and unmindful of salah, and when there's a few minutes left, they will rush to make salah and they will peck like hens on the ground. They are making sujood sharp within, make a salah quickly and get it over with. Alright, all those things. And then he comes to the point of what he will make a section of the ummah, a party of the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do with regard to the sahaba karam. There it is spelt out, and this is no beating around the bush. This is no make-belief. This is how shaitan explains he is going to do with the ummah, or a portion of the ummah, to make tawbah unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their tawbah. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept? They can make a million tawbahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never going to accept it if they have scorn in their heart and contempt in their heart for the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And say shaitan, he is going to make it, he's going to fix it in their minds and in their hearts so indelibly, meaning it cannot be rubbed off, it cannot be taken out. It will become a part of their belief. They will believe, they will say that such is our belief, and it is a pious man that believes so. So it becomes such a tenet, a canon of their belief, that they will continue with it, with that belief, and hold fast to it, fanatical about it, until the day they die. It will be said that such a man was an honorable man. Shaitan will make them think, a man that died with these true beliefs, with these beliefs. And so he says, now what are you going to do, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you going to do about it? Allahu Akbar, brothers, this is how shaitan operates. And this was said way in the graveyard of Medina, when right at the birth of Islam, in the inception of Islam. Allahu Akbar. Now, on hearing this, the narrator, the one who recorded this hadith, he says, on hearing this, the narrator records that our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept profusely. This daring and challenge of shaitan, where shaitan says, what are you going to do about it? Subhanallah, to whom does he say this? So the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you going to do? I mean, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Your ummah can know, but I know what your ummah is. Alright? What a pain it must have caused the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to listen to these words from the greatest enemy of man and the greatest enemy of the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On hearing this, the narrator records that our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept profusely and then said, after weeping, the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told shaitan, he said, verily, addressing the Sahaba Ikram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand there, some of the Sahabas are with him, he looks at the Sahaba Ikram and he tells them, because all of them are looking, here shaitan has thrown down the gauntlet, he's thrown a challenge, what are you going to do about it? Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns, he looks at the Sahaba Ikrams, and after weeping profusely, he says, verily, all this is going to happen. Allah has decreed it as such. All this is going to happen. When such things happen, seek the help and the guidance and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah ta'ala is the only one who can help and guide. There is the solution, there is the key, Muslimin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not fighting shaitan. He only wants to hear what shaitan has to say. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us simply the key. Here is your key. And the key is so simple. Keep asking for the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep asking for guidance, hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep asking and beseeching the nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's our key. Three parts to the key. Allah's rahmah, Allah's nusra, right? Continuously Allah's rahmah, Allah's nusra, and hidayat from Allah's guidance. I'll get through to you. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Allah, there's the stars, there's the moon, there's the sun, all these celestial bodies, Ya Allah, but not one of them can be a God. For God is above all these things and these creations. Oh Allah, if you are there, reveal yourself to me. Let me know that you are there. Let me see your power, O Allah. Reveal it unto me and I will follow thee. Guide me, O Allah. And when man turns like a child, we are all children, we are all slaves. A child is even better because a child is a free person. But we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we as slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bow down and prostrate and we say, oh Allah, you guide me. I have this and this and this, all these things coming into my mind. But I beg you and I beseech you for guidance, oh Allah. Grant me true guidance. Let your mercy encompass me, oh Allah. And shroud me completely, oh Allah. And you give me hidayat. Oh Allah, you guide me. You are the only one who can guide me. And when you do so and you do good and pious deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most certainly guide you, providing there is faith in one Allah and there is sincerity in your appeal. If you are insincere in your appeal, it's not going to come, it's not going to happen. But if you are sincere, ikhlas in your appeal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide, will help. Shaitan will not be able to. So simply Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba Ikram, through them he informs us, verily, what shaitan says, that is going to happen. When such things happen, seek the help, the mercy, and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah ta'ala is the only one who can help and guide. Verily, Allah ta'ala has created Jannah, now the reason. The solution, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the reason why shaitan will succeed. Very brief words, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Jawami'ul Kilam. The word in Arabic, Jawami'ul Kilam. This is one of the attributes and sifat of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This means, Jawami'ul Kilam means a man who says many things in a few words. Subhanallah. In one or two sentences, he speaks volumes. This is the asset and attribute of a prophet. And our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a master of this. Such was the gift and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. He says, verily, Allah ta'ala has created Jannah and people who will go into Jannah. And Allah ta'ala has created Jahannam and people who are going to go to Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created bad, sinful and evil deeds which will take them into the burning and raging fires of hell, of Jahannam. So there are good actions, true beliefs that will take people to Jannah, for Jannah is created and it must have its inhabitants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jahannam, and there are people that must go to Jahannam as a result of their evil deeds, their disbeliefs, and their evil actions. So that is taqdeer, that is fate, that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah, and the people who go to Jannah, there will be people occupying Jannah, and there will be inhabitants of Jahannam. So there it is in few words, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaitan has spoken so many words, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a few words, puts it all together and summarizes the whole action. Says Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, finally, he gives the ultimate proof from Quran. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam quotes the following ayah of the Quran to the Sahaba ikram. He says, thus Allah ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ صدق اللہ العظيم. Says the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba Ikram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as follows. Allah ta'ala says, and it is Allah who created you and all the things that you do. Meaning good to good, evil to evil. And it is Allah who created man and all the things that man does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created you and all the things that you do. All the actions that you commit, good actions will go to Jannah, good, pious deeds, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran and Sunnah, you go to Jannah. And of course, if it's evil actions, evil deeds and wrong beliefs, then you will be punished and you will go into Jahannam. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. But everything is by the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan, you can say what you want to, but the ultimate doer of everything, creator of everything, is Allah. Simply spoken to shaitan, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends off that particular part of the conversation. I'm giving a brief commentary here. This was the reply of shaitan on his designs to thwart man from being forgiven by Allah Ta'ala for his sins. Shaitan promised to instigate men towards beliefs and actions which are unforgivable by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala if held on to. Shaitan assures the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that his instigations and perpetrations and persuasions would be so insistent that people would refuse to part with them until death, thus becoming unpardonable. This would lead them to utter humiliation and destruction in the hereafter. Shaitan also sketches out to the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam his evil schemes for the males and females of all age groups of his ummah, and how Shaitan would sway them towards evil and sin. Shaitan also informs our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that anyone of the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who decides on good action or pious deed will find a shaitan called mutaqadi. And mutaqadi means demanding and insisting. Mutaqadi means a demander, an insister. So that shaitan will be an insistent shaitan, like a leech as I described. He will go in there, his job will be to continue waswasing you with one thing. And that one thing is, do away with this action, forget this action, and so on and so on. Says shaitan, called mutaqadi, attaching itself to him or her and urging him or her away from good and discouraging him and her from piety, and enticing him or her to boast and to brag about his or her good deeds and intentions. In this way, good is destroyed by shaitan. Shaitan then also informs our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his evil plans and designs with the musallis, about how he goes about thwarting, delaying, and superimposing himself on those who wish to perform their salah on time. Remember in the hadith it comes, how often Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what a good behavior and conduct it is of a Muslim to perform salah on time, on its waqtu. Now this is the reason why, you understand? Because if you let that time go by, and if you don't discipline yourself to perform salah on the waqtu and on the time, then shaitan gets busy with you. Oh, shaitan is a wily one, this shaitan. oh, he is a wily one, he is shaitan. Shaitan hates salah. This one great ibadah of the Muslims, shaitan hates it from the bottom of his guts. For salah brings people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like no other ibadah. And shaitan drives, and salah drives shaitan further away from them through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the aura that it creates around the musalli, the protection, the shield that it creates around the musalli. And this is hazardous for shaitan. That shield or that salah provides that musalli who performs his salah on its time and with jama'ah, then shaitan finds that he cannot penetrate and he cannot get across. 5 times a day the man is going to the masjid, 5 times a day he is performing his salah. He is punctual, so disciplined with his salah that shield remains there and that armor remains there and that alarm and protection is all around. Shaitan just bounces off. He cannot get through. He cannot perpetrate. He cannot persuade. He cannot seduce. He cannot tempt. So he's got a problem. Therefore, he does everything in his power to break a man's salah. Shaitan, therefore, goes out of his way to make believers forget or neglect their salah. Shaitan, whose major task is to lead people astray, then reveals a fascinating piece of information to our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his evil design on the Ummah. Shaitan will instigate, he says, a certain group of people towards thinking that they are better and superior to all other Muslim believers. This is a technique that Shaitan has used very successfully with former nations, which led to the eventual demise, destruction and annihilation, what we call the vanished civilizations of the world. Shaitan's evil cause seeks to cause the downfall and the ruin of this particular group, whom he approaches with great stealth and connivance. Shaitan thus went to this particular group and enhanced within them the great service they would be rendering Islam by revealing the truth of Khilafat to the Muslim world. What Shaitan speaks about this group, that he is going to raise within them great love for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I am talking about that in my commentary so that you understand the background. Shaitan went. In the former nations, Ad and Thamud and the people of Nabi Saleh alayhi salam, the people of Nabi Hud alayhi salam, the Thamud and the Ad people, and the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of each of the Ambiyas of the past, the great, great prophets of the past, all these civilizations that have been destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of them we have done. Shaitan used to easily go to them and pervert them and lead them into shirk and to kufr and to nifaq. Alright, he had very little problem with nations of the past. Now what Shaitan did is, when it came to the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early days, during the period of the Khilafat, he couldn't do much in the period of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but after the demise of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Shaitan went to a group of these people. And he went, and this is how this group started. Shaitan went to them. And believe you me, I have given you many instances and examples where Shaitan has gone personally, disguised as an old man, as a saintly man, as a learned man, as a wise man. Shaitan does this quite often. And he goes to them personally, and then he gives them his evil advice, bad advice. Alright? Now in this particular case, this is how this started. Or Shaitan may not go himself, he may incite one of his followers, his human followers, one that he has got in the palm of his hands, he may incite them and instigate them to carry out his dirty work. Alright, those people that carry out his dirty work are known as Shayateenul Ins. They are known as the human devils. And so they have been referred to in the Quran Kareem. Shaitan thus went to this particular group of people and he enhanced within them the great service that they would be rendering, the heroic service they would be rendering Islam by revealing the truth of Khilafat to the Muslim world. A great injustice had been perpetrated against Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He explained to them, Shaitan explained to this group of people, and by all the Sahaba-e-Karam, a great injustice, a wrong has been committed by these three great Khalifas of Islam, and by all the other Sahaba-e-Karam, by denying him by denying Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala the right to succeed to the khilafat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was most deserving of their, this particular group. He tells them, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is the most deserving of your love, honor and respect and your veneration. And they should waste no time in declaring their love, their affinity, their brotherhood and their filiality to him, and in being ready to sacrifice their lives, to shed their blood for Sayyidina Ali and for the love of Sayyidina Ali and the Ahlul Bayt radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They should also declare, now remember this is a commentary that I'm giving, they should also declare their dislike and their hatred for the first three Khalifas of Islam and for all the Sahaba-i-Kiram that elected and supported them. For they had betrayed a great trust in not appointing Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala as the rightful heir and successor, as the one who should have been the Khalifa after the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them thus, the three great Khalifas of Islam, and all the Sahaba Ikram thus were blameworthy. Nauzubillah. This is what Shaitan planted into the minds of this group of people. And they stood in the dock. All these Sahaba stood in the dock, Shaitan told them, for the perpetration of a great crime against Islam. And you people will be doing the greatest honor to Islam if you disclose this to the world. You will all be heroes. All of you will go to Jannah. Shaitan tells them, all of you will do a great service to Islam if you reveal to them how Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, all the Sahaba Karam that supported them when they were elected, all of them have committed a great injustice and a great crime against Allah and against the Rasul of Allah and against Islam and against all the Muslims. So you people will be great heroes and leaders and people who will be honored forever in Islam if you reveal this fact to the Muslimin. Astaghfirullah. Shaitan knew that this would lead this particular group to evolve further denunciations and inflammatory accusations against these close companions, the Sahaba-i-Karam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would lead them on to the slanderous campaign through his seductions. In the past, the strategy of Shaitan was to lead people into shirk, and this was easy for him in the pre-Islamic era, due to the vast powers that he had at his disposal, such as those of entering the heavens and picking up the conversation of the malaikas. But with a limitation of his powers with the advent of Islam, Shaitan conceived schism as an easy way of creating division, dissension and disunity within the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look where this thing goes back. Kufr, shirk, nifaq, all these things, particularly shirk, became very difficult for Shaitan al-Rajim. But he said, well, when it comes to the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu, I must change my strategy slightly. And the strategy with the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu will be, I cannot make them mushrik very easily, or kafir very easily, or munafiq very easily. First, I must get them to form schisms, different groups and different parties. And then I will introduce different loyalties. And then I will introduce different customs and traditions. And then I will introduce different beliefs into each of them. So Shaitan has systematically woven a pattern of unbelief amongst the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he spells it out when he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he is going to go about destroying the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason for using schism is that his powers had now become limited. He proposed to them, therefore, that this group keep their name Shia. Where did this originate and come from? The proposed, although it may have been made by a group within that party, but Shaitan comes to such gatherings in disguise, or he's got one of his followers and he whispers to them, this is the most appropriate name. And I'll give you the origin of that name just now. He says, Shaitan proposed to this particular group to whom he went originally. He proposed to them, therefore, that they keep the name Shia, and he told them that its derivation was from the Quran. And he gave them many reasons for honoring the name Shia, as opposed to Sunni and Islam. I will give you one example of such an evil proposition that Shaitan made to this group. I'm giving one example, there are several. This is not our subject. But since I'm dealing with this in its original, in the form of its origin, I will give you. Shaitan, when he went to their first meeting, this particular group used to have a lot of meetings outside of Medina, when the first Shia group was formed, and who eventually caused the assassination of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, which I've already given you in the story of the Shias, which we did on six C90 cassettes some years ago. All that is there. This is the origin. However, Shaitan went to this particular group and gave, and this is one of the examples he gave them, why they must adopt the name of Shia as opposed to Sunni. Here it is. He told them that, look, but this is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the word Shia and the name Shia is a very honorable name. So you people must not take the name Sunni. You must use the name Shia. And here is the reason. Shaitan tells them in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, as I say this, some of you may think this sounds like a fairy tale. No, brothers. Even the stories with regard to Qiyamah and with regard to the life in the grave, all those sound like fairy tales. Also, Munkar and Nakir sound like fairy tales. Ya'juj and Ma'juj sound like fairy tales. Dajjal sounds like fairy tales. The beast that will appear before the day of judgment, that sounds like fairy tales. Many things, sun rising from the west instead of the east sounds like a fairy tale. Many things sound like fairy tales, but let me tell you, there are fairy tales, yes, but there are truth also. We have to sift through them and see what is true. What I'm telling you is true, brothers. Pick up any tafsir and look up this ayat. Any reasonable, good commentary of the Quran, what I'm telling you will find it there. I will give you where I obtained this from. You can obtain it in all the tafsirs also. Alright? In the Quran Majid, Shaitan tells them, in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, and says he, and he recites this ayat of the Quran, tells them, in the Quran it comes, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِنَّا مِنْ شِيَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ Surah Safat, 37th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 83. Surah Safat, 37th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 83. Shaitan tells this group, he tells them, and verily of his party was Ibrahim. And verily of his party was Ibrahim. Now I'll give you, this is a translation, that is the ayat, this is a translation, now the commentary of this particular ayah. It is like this. Shaitan explains to these people and he tells them, Allah Ta'ala speaks here. Shaitan doesn't tell them, first I'm giving the correct commentary, then I'm going to tell you the commentary that Shaitan gave to them. The meaning that he gave. The correct commentary of this ayat, for your information, is as follows. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمُ And verily of his party was Ibrahim, means as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks here of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, stating that these two great prophets of Allah ta'ala were of the same religion and the same persuasion. Both were messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them belonged to Islam. Both of them believed in Tawheed, in Risalat and in Akhirat. The space of time which have lapsed between these two great prophets of Allah ta'ala, between Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and between Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was 2,640 years. So we have almost 3,000 years between Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Quran, yet both of them were of the same religion. Both of them believed exactly the same. Alright? This is what Allah ta'ala. And only two prophets appeared between Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the two that appeared in between were Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam. All the prophets of Allah ta'ala belong to one and the same religion and belief. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly is telling us between these two, Nuh and Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala says they were both of the same religion in spite of the period. And elsewhere Allah Ta'ala says, and Adam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were of the same religion also. So all the prophets were brothers, all taught and propagated exactly the same, all held exactly the same belief, and all of them were innocent of all sin. All of them were sinless. Alright? They were completely pious. They carried forth the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one of them committed any crime, any sin at all whatsoever. So, all the Prophets of Allah ta'ala belong to one and the same religion and belief which covered Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. This is the true meaning of this ayah. Now look how shaitan corrupts this, falsifies it, and he puts it in front of the first group that formulated Shiism. Shaitan, however, suggested to them with great subtlety and cunning that this was not so. This is not the meaning he told them. He tells them, the Shiite, and what I'm telling you now, you pick up our tafsir and you pick up the Shia's tafsirs. You will find what I'm telling you. And now from the Shiite tafsir I'm quoting to you. The Shiite tafsirs or tafasir states categorically that it was the hope, the dream, and the prayer of every Prophet of Allah Ta'ala to belong to the Shia of Ali. The word Shia means party. To belong to the Shia of Ali. Now, where am I reading out to you from? The tafsir of the Shia. They say that this ayat means that it was the hope and the dream and the prayer of every Prophet of Allah Ta'ala to belong to the Shia of Ali, to the party of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, shaitan now explains to them, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, like the other prophets, was shown in a vision the striking and the sparkling party of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the akhirah, in the hereafter. And they expressed the desire to belong to this particular group and party. Each prophet in a vision. In this case, Nabi Ibrahim is stated, but each prophet saw in a vision Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the hereafter with the party of Shias with him, with his party and his group. And they were splendid and shining and sparkling and in great comfort and joy in the hereafter. Then each prophet told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, how nice it would be if we also belonged to this particular group and to this particular party. This, what I'm giving you, is how shaitan put it across to those people at that time. Alright, their du'as, the du'as of a prophet is mustajab. So the du'as of each of the prophets was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shias say that in this ayah, the Shias maintain, is the proof of such acceptance of the du'as of the Anbiya's. In that this ayah says that, and verily of his, and the word his here, this personal pronoun his that is used here, wa inna min shi'atihi, the he is a pronoun. This pronoun he does not refer to Nuh alayhi salam as you and I believe, as all the mufassirin, muhaddisin believe, as the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam believed. The Shia say no, all of them were wrong. The Sahabas we must not trust, nausbillah. Alright? They say no. This he, this pronoun here, refers to whom? Refers to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And it say, and the translation they read is, and verily of his Ali's party was Ibrahim alayhi salam. The personal pronoun his refers to Ali and not to Nuh, they adamantly claim. And they say, we are right and all the others are wrong. They become militant and fanatical about this translation if they are told about this interpretation and commentary, if they are told of this exegesis, if they are told otherwise. Yet, there is absolutely no proof of this. It is completely out of context and totally illogical, for it means that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is superior to all the other prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this can never be. So, but of course they become blind, shaitan casts a magical spell over them, and of course they are induced by this. All of them want to be leaders, all of them want to be, you know, big people, and there's a lot of arrogance and pride amongst them. They are blinded by shaitan, and they are overcome by him, and of course they accept this, and this is how the party of Shias originated and was formed by shaitan. This extract is from, I'm giving you one tafsir, you can look it up in all the others, and you can look it up in the Shia tafsirs also. I'm very afraid of the Shias really. If you have to obtain their books and look it up, because if you're going to tell them this, then they will deny it, because taqiyya to them is a lawazim of their deen. It is a very particular, it is a canon of their faith, meaning it is one of their precepts, it is one of the articles of faith. In other words, meaning that pious fraud is allowed by them, it is permissible by them. So to deceive the Sunnis, the Muslims, is permitted to them. And as a matter of fact, it is a very honorable thing and a rewarding thing for them to do, to mislead others. Anyway, this is obtained from the Tafsir, Ma'ariful Quran, of Mawlana Muhammad Idris Khandelwi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was my ustad also in Lahore, and I studied Tafsir under him. He has written a Tafsir known as Ma'ariful Quran. One Ma'ariful Quran is Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, of Karachi, a great jurist of the last century. And then the other one was in Lahore, and that was Mawlana Muhammad Idris Khandelwi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He wrote a kitab also called Tafsir Ma'ariful Quran in volume 5, page 675. Now to conclude this commentary, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thoroughly distressed by this information which Shaitan passed on to him in the graveyard of Medina. And he told the Sahaba-i-Karam, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, that all that Shaitan was saying was going to transpire, it was going to happen, and that Muslims should consistently seek the help, the guidance, and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For without the mercy and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be easily led astray by the deceptions and the seductions of Shaitan. He told them that there are people in mankind who are meant for Jannah, and that there are those who are meant for Jahannam, but it is belief and action that determines the destiny of men. For all things are the creation and the determination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good, true believing and pious will succeed, and they will go to Jannah, and the bad and disbelieving and sinful will fail, and they will go to Jahannam. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, we're coming to the next question. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Shaitan, what are the features, we're going back to the conversation, what are the features and qualities of those who will go to Jahannam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Shaitan, Shaitan must describe to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the qualities, the features, the traits, the characteristics of the people who are going to go to Jahannam. So Shaitan starts, this is what Shaitan says. Shaitan said, to make partnership, to attribute partnership with Allah Ta'ala. Those who attribute partnership to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in other words, those who commit shirk, they will go to Jahannam. They are first on the list to go to Jahannam. Who explains? Shaitan tells the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the greatest open features and traits of those who will go to Jahannam are the people who attribute partnership to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They are the first. Then Shaitan describes also what he means by attributing partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is clear, the other one Shaitan says is follow. That is to worship other than Allah, such as adoring and worshipping idols and statues and fire, etc. Alright? That is very clear. Shaitan just gives a few examples, and we are supposed to know what it means to give partnership. In other words, fire worshippers, the Magians, the people, the Persians, amongst the Persians, they were Magians, and these Magi used to worship fire, and they have in their temples a fire that burns all the time. From the time the temple is built, they have this fire burning. I am informed, and I believe this to be correct, that there is one, what they call the eternal fire, burning in one of the Persian temples where the Magi, the Magians originated from. And they claim that this fire has been burning for the last 6,000-7,000 years, 10,000 years. I've heard various amounts of years been given. I've had 6 more often than anything else. But alright, let's say 6,000 years these fires have been burning. They say that we are told in the hadith, we are informed that when the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place, that was the only time that that fire went off. Alright, this was one of the signals of the birth of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be that as it may, they say that fire has been burning eternally, and so whenever a temple is built by the fire worshippers, whether it's in South Africa or the United States or Europe or Asia, anywhere, then they go and take a spark from that particular fire. That fire is brought over and it's lit here. So this, whichever new temple is built, that fire becomes a part of that eternally burning fire there. Be that as it may, in any case, what they do, they worship fire. Alright? And here Shaitan tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whichever way attributing partnership to Allah Ta'ala may be, whether they, you know, worship idols and statues or fire or mountains or seas and oceans or angels and whatever, or demons and earth or plants and animals or fishes, or whatever they worship. He tells the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it means that they are attributing partnership, and once they commit shirk, that means these are the first people that will be marched and led by their faces into Jahannam. Shaitan says, furthermore, seeking from others besides Allah belongs to the same class. In other words, that is also shirk. Seeking from others besides Allah. Searching from others besides Allah. In other words, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Anybody that runs contrary to Iyaka na'budu and contrary to Iyaka nasta'in, Shaitan says, they will also be the first people to go into Jahannam. Because Shaitan says, that is also shirk. To turn to any other, to seek from any other besides Allah, be it mortal or anything else, whoever, be it living or deceased, anybody you seek from besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, then you have committed shirk. Such as from graves, tombs of saints, ancestors, etc., heavenly bodies and earthly objects, etc., all of these who seek from these things, they have committed shirk, and they will be accordingly punished. So Shaitan says, seeking and searching from others besides Allah also belongs to the same class. Similarly, says Shaitan, similarly, among the outstanding and the distinct qualities and features of Jahannamis, of hellgoers, will be offering gifts, presents, and oblations to others besides Allah to obtain favors, good fortune, boons and blessings. Subhanallah. Look what Shaitan says. Shaitan says, it is also shirk. It constitutes also shirk for any Muslim to make offerings like gifts. Alright? Brothers, I'm not going to go into, I've given you very often details about this, to offer gifts. These were the actions, the profane actions, the evil deeds of the mushrikeen of the pre-Islamic period. This is what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to stop, to warn people, to warn mankind against. So we cannot indulge in them. So Shaitan says, this is the features and the traits and the habits of people who will go to Jahannam. They will be those who make offerings, they offer gifts, presents and oblations, and mark my words, I underlined it here so I can emphasize that to you, that they give these gifts and these offerings and oblations to gods besides Allah, to those whom they have made gods, to those whom they worship as gods, as saviors besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mark my words that, and be very careful in this. I do not mean giving a person gift, or your ustad a gift, or giving your ustad a present. I'm not talking about those types of things, or carrying a present and giving it to your father whom you respect, or your grandfather or grandmother whom you respect. We're not talking about, people misinterpret these things sometimes in that manner. That is not what I'm saying. We are talking about worship, where you take as a deity another person that is in a grave or wherever or whatever, and you worship him as a deity, you seek help from him, and then you take things and you give it to him. Remember what Nelson Mandela said in Vukaap, alright, about this prisoner who became fat overnight. Suddenly he became very fat, very fat, and they found out that people were leaving food at the Karamat, that is on Robben Island. Remember, he said it. And with them, it's a matter of a joke. Now, who was leaving those offerings? Tell me, did that one that is there and that great saint that is there, does he need that food? Why were people leaving such nice food there? Specially cooked food they take there, and they leave wonderful food. I've heard here also in Signal, you know, where people were working on the road workers, I was told here, that several road workers, we had the same problem with these road workers, and these road workers were working there, and they see people going in there and coming out, going in there with pots and things, you know, covered, and they're going in there. So one of them must have felt funny, and they went in there to check up, and they found nice warm food lying around. So with them it was a Christmas. I mean, every time they could go in there, when people went in and left, they went in there and they came back with nice food and they enjoyed themselves. Brothers, that's the thing. Why leave food? They leave food, they're expecting some gain from there. So who are they turning to? They don't leave food for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they leave food for a person that has died. It's illogical, brothers. Alright, it doesn't make sense. This is what Islam came to remove. This is what the temple priests used to live on. We can't do that, brothers. Who's going to eat that food? What is wastage, extravagance, all these things are disallowed in Islam. There are people dying of hunger here, brother. We're not feeding the hungry and the dying people here, the poverty that exists here, and we're going and leaving it at the grave of some wali of Allah. That wali doesn't need that. Anyway, brothers, mark my words very carefully what I'm saying, because I'm defining what Shaitan said to Nabi. Shaitan said, and they will offer gifts and presents and oblations to deities that they worship, to others besides Allah, and Shaitan will be making them waswas to do this. Alright? And the reason behind it will be so that they can obtain from those places to whom they take these offerings and gifts, they can obtain favors and blessings and bounties and good fortune. They're looking for reward from, they're going to get something, their wealth will increase, their children will increase, etc., etc., all these things. So from who should a Muslim be looking for favors and rewards and blessings? Only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah can grant it to us. Alright, so that is shirk. Shaitan says he will make people do such things. This is what Shaitan is saying. Shaitan is not finished. He's giving all the various 7 descriptions of shirk Shaitan is giving. Alright, then Shaitan goes on. People do such things. This is what Shaitan is saying. Shaitan is not finished. He's giving all the various 7 descriptions of shirk Shaitan is giving. Alright? Then Shaitan goes on. I've given you 3 so far. Obviously, Shaitan is not enumerating it. I'm numbering it for your to make it easy for you. Then says Shaitan, as will also be their habit of giving tributes, making vows, offering sacrificial animals and contributing payments for the removal of pain, suffering and distress in the name of others besides Allah Ta'ala. Let's go see that again. In other words, Shaitan will make Muslims do, and these people will become Jahannamis. Who are they? The people who give tributes, mean make certain payments, give certain allowances. Alright? They make vows. They say, for example, oh Allah, if my child becomes well, if I regain my health, if I get a good job, if I get a good wife, and so on and so on, any kind of vow that they make. No? And they make this vow saying, then I will fast in the name of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, of this Sheikh Nizamuddin Chisti Rahmatullahi, or in the name of this wali, or in the name of that wali, or in the name of this, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand me well, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make vows in the name of others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan says that is shirk, and he says Shaitan is going to make them do this. Shaitan will say, why? If you do it in the name of Sheikh this, and wali that, and awliya this, and so on and so on, if you do, then they will reward you. They will go and intercede on your behalf by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will make your thing come through and your child get better, etc., etc., and so on. Alright? So Shaitan says, Shaitan will be, and he tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this way, Shaitan, this is how I am going to corrupt your people, and this is how they will be led into Jahannam. Alright? And the others are here, offering sacrificial animals. Alright, they will go there to that tomb or that grave or that place or that holy ground, and they will make zabade. But those animals will be sacrificed not in Allah's name. Mark me, not in Allah's name. It will be sacrificed in the name of others besides Allah, for reasons others than for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, and the reason, and they will make certain payments. They will make certain payments to the people. If they can't slaughter themselves, or they can't do it themselves, then they will give money to somebody to make it for them, so that through that person, or that animal, or that plant, or that holy tree, or whatever, they will receive and derive benefits. So they are not looking for benefit and favor and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are looking it from some other besides Allah, whatever that may be. Alright? Then, says Shaitan, and so also, through my help and my beckoning, says Shaitan to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and so also through my help and my beckoning, says Shaitan, will be their habit of putting on, now listen to this, of putting on bangles, putting on chains, rings, necklaces, and other ornaments, in the name of others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the safety, security and the protection of such persons. And also for the protection and extension of the very lives and healths of this people. As will also be their superstition and custom in tying knots in their hair and making certain marks and spots on their bodies. I saw once a person, he had three marks here in this place here, three marks. Mostly it remains covered. And I asked him, brother, but what is this three dots here? You know, three dots made. Lakhay Suma for me, and he said, Moran, don't you know what this is for? You know it, you're only joking with me. You should know, you must know. So I said, no, brother, I do not know. But anyway, he took it that I know and I'm just checking on him. So he said, well, this is for my protection, this is for my problem. Says we put this in my family, it runs in my family. All children that are born, we make these three marks. And this three marks is always covered like this because, I mean, very seldom you reveal it's covered like. So we are protected, my family is protected. We receive the protection. Alright? So there are things like this. Shaitan tells the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what, this is the type of superstition, this is the type of shirkiya. Superstition that he puts into people's mind, and they have sometimes they put on certain bangles and certain chains and rings. The point here is they do this in the name of others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get that right, brothers. That is very important. And it is pure superstition, and it is done for protection of life, prolongation of life, for the desiring of good health, etc., etc., etc. And when I say desiring of good health, I mean desiring good health, not from Allah Ta'ala, but from others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here a person may misunderstand, may say, Mawlana, I've got this bangle on here, copper bangle on, because I'm suffering from arthritis. We're not talking about that, brothers, understand me. We're not talking about, there are for certain sicknesses, things that we use, certain things that people put on. I'm not talking about that. Those people are seeking help and the nusra and the mercy of, that is a cure. They are not asking any other besides Allah Ta'ala. Here I'm making it explicit where people do these things in the name of others besides Allah. Shaitan then goes on to say, this you may have seen. Shaitan says, as will also be their custom and their superstition of wearing and using red or green or black strings and tapes to receive favors and blessings from others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know, in my young days I've seen this, and now and then I also see that some people in Muharram in particular, they wear this red strings around their, you know, here around their wrists and here and sometime around their necks and so on, for protection. Some of them I've asked, some know why, some don't know why. It's merely a custom and a tradition that they put these things on, but it is seeking protection from others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, this all shaitan reveals to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then shaitan says, they will also plant and erect poles and hang up flags. Now listen to this. They will also plant poles in certain places. For what reason? To pay obeisance to these poles and these flags. And what does it mean to pay obeisance? It means they will bow to these things and they will prostrate to these things with what in their mind? As an act of reverence and an act of respect. Astaghfirullah. Now, you and I may not be aware of this, but brothers, these are customs and traditions that are carried on by people. You may be too innocent to know this, but Shaitan tells the Nabi, these are the things. He will make these people plant a pole there, and morning and evening they must go and pay their respects to these poles and these things. They worship Allah, yes. They worship one Allah, yes. But as the Quraysh did in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as the unbelievers did in those days, they did worship. Quran also tells us in six, seven different ayat of the Quran that the Arabs worship one Allah. They turned always to one Allah, but they had many mediums. All these mediums are taken as gods and deities, and people turn to them and they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan says that is what he makes people do. This is how he leads people astray. And these are all his different actions that he uses. So Shaitan says, all of these acts will be carried out in the name and for the sake of others besides Allah. And all of these will be shirk. And these will be the customs and habits of the Jahannamis, of the people who will go to hell. These are their typical features. Brothers, 7 descriptions have been given here of people who will go to Jahannam for the sake of shirk. These are as follows. One is open shirk, which means making partnership and giving partnership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first. Number 2, seeking and searching from others besides Allah. Number 3, offering gifts, presents and oblation to others besides Allah to obtain favors, boons and blessings. Number 4, giving tributes, making vows, offering sacrificial animals and contributing payments for the removal of pain and suffering and distress in the name of others besides Allah. Number 5, habit of putting on bangles and chains and rings and necklaces and other ornaments in the name of others besides Allah Ta'ala for safety, security and prolonging of life. And the 6th one is the superstition and custom of tying knots in the hair, alright, and making certain marks and spots on the bodies. And the 7th shirk for which people will go to Jahannam according to Shaitan will be planting poles and erecting flags and bowing and prostrating to these, and also seeking help from these things. Now we come, those were the 7 descriptions of shirk, but I've put them as number 1. Now we start with number 2. Alright? And I will go on mentioning, because Shaitan says the identities, the characteristics, the features and the traits of the people of Jahannam, altogether Shaitan mentions the one I've mentioned to you, altogether they total 57. I'm on to number 2 only now. And then I will go on quickly, do the 57, I will mention them to you now, and then we'll end this lesson. They're all brief. But these are the traits, the characters, the features of the people who go to Jahannam. Here they come. Shaitan says their habits will also consist, the people who are going to go to Jahannam, their habits will also consist of taking, swearing false oaths. Taking false qasam. Thirdly, of lying and deceiving, of defrauding and cheating. That is number 3. Lying, deceiving, defrauding and cheating. Number 4. I am numbering them. Shaitan didn't number them. I am numbering them for convenience. Number 4. Of wishing bad fortune and ill luck on others. Of wishing bad fortune and ill luck on other people. Number 5, of betraying trust. Number 6, of backbiting, carrying tales, of slandering, of cunning and of pretense. Number 7, let me go through number 6 again. Backbiting, carrying tales, slandering, acting with great cunning and with great pretense. Number 7, of tricking, evading and plotting. Number 8, of disguise and imposture. Of disguise and imposture. That was also a form of deception. Number 9, of pride, of bigotry, fanaticism, extremism and arrogance. These are more or less synonyms, but I'm spelling it out so you know the different features. What does Shaitan say? Of pride, bigotry. What is bigotry? Bigotry is where a person is so fanatical on a false belief or a false custom that you can explain to him and tell him anything. For example, you may find him, he's got a photograph in front of him, and this photograph is garlanded, and he kisses this photograph, and he adores this photograph. Every time he's in trouble, he takes this photograph, he looks at it, and he admires it, and he kisses it, and he puts it away. And you tell this, my brother, what you are doing is shirk, it is wrong. And the guy says, what do you know? This is my sheikh's photo, and all my problems are solved when I kiss it. I'm not worshipping it. But I'm kissing it and I love this man. I adore this man. And you tell him, but that is wrong, brother. You should only adore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's adamant that he's a bigot. He's a man. He's so fanatical on his action, he doesn't believe anything else. That is what is meant by bigot. But brother, if I'm going to explain to you every word, when are we going to end up? And there's 57 characteristics here. And I'm only on the 9th one. Of pride and bigotry and arrogance. Number 10, of maligning and defaming. maligning, you know what it is, maligning and defaming others. Number 11, of being ignorant, Shaitan says, of being ignorant, as a Muslim you are ignorant, and then of preferring to remain ignorant. You have a choice. And your brother comes to you and tells you, look, in that masjid there is an alim teaching there, in that madrasa there is classes there, and so on. But he prefers to remain ignorant. He doesn't make an effort to go and learn the deen. So the Shaitan says, Shaitan will be the cause of that. Of being ignorant, remaining ignorant, and being the cause of others remaining ignorant. Now, he may be a father and he's got children. He doesn't even encourage his children to go and learn, to go to madrasa and so on. Our greatest problem, you can ask any khalifa, any ustad, any alim, the greatest problem in our madrasas is lack of attendance, poor attendance is our way. Now, attendance is simple. If the parents merely follow up and see to it that the children get there to learn, then of course we've got no problem. Attendance will be good. Little bit rain, they will go to school. Heavy rain, they will go to school. Little bit rain, they won't go to madrasa. Subhanallah. That is how we have become. So Shaitan is the planner behind this. Shaitan is the devil behind this. He tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and look how it is. He says, of being ignorant, this is the science of the Jahannamis. Of being ignorant, of remaining ignorant, and being the cause of others being ignorant. Number 12, of blustering, boasting, and bragging. These are the signs of the people of Jahannam. They will bluster, they will boast, and they will brag. Number 13, of being lazy and neglectful of good duty and service, like salah, the giving of zakah, right? Hajj, everything is there. They can go for hajj, but they prefer not to. They keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off, and things like that. Major ibadah. Alright, so Shaitan says he is the cause of this, and this will be a sign of a person who's going of being lazy and neglectful of good duty and service. 14th sign, of showing ingratitude and being thankless. All the time. You hear this, brothers, we do it also. We don't make shukr for little mercies, we don't make shukr. All the time, every day we complain, there's no food in the house, no barakat in money. You tell me, how often have we said that? Brothers, I am also just as guilty. And may Allah make me maaf, may Allah make all of us maaf. But we often say it, we are human, we make mistakes and we say things sometimes, but it is very wrong of us to do so. Shaitan, that shows you that I who should know better and you who should know better, some of you have been with me for many, many years, even we slip up at times and we show ingratitude. How often have we not said there's no barakat in money? Alright? But it is not so, brothers. It is not so. That plays no role in the part of a Muslim. Every little bit. Alhamdulillah. Remember the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam? Every time make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have, you make shukr. When you haven't, you make shukr. In good health, you make shukr. When you are sick, you make shukr. Subhanallah, what an example have the Anbiya's been to us. As I say, brothers, there are 57 here. If I'm going to each one give commentary of, we're not going to get done. But here and there I will say, of showing ingratitude and being thankless. Yes, this is the waswas of Shaitan. That shows you how close he is to us, how near he, like a leech he sticks onto us, brothers. He is there whispering and telling, showing gratitude. How he tried with Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Okay. Of showing ingratitude and being thankless. 15th sign of people who will go to Jahannam is of being lazy and of being unfair and unjust towards others. How often it happens. I look at a man and I like him or I dislike him. Just by his looks. Subhanallah. Or for any other reason, and we become unfair and unjust towards others. 16th sign of not believing truly and sincerely in Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, at the back of our mind, we got some doubt about this whole affair, this whole point of belief. We are required, it is demanded of us, it is a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must but absolutely believe in Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But some of us are cynical, you know, we come from a Western environment, we have studied in schools where secularization process has taken in our education, and the point of secular education is that you must express doubt and uncertainty on every matter. That, they say, promotes learning, increases education, brings about knowledge and wisdom. What? Curiosity, experimentation, ascertainment. Ascertain everything. How can you believe in Allah and His Rasul without ascertaining whether there is an Allah and His Rasul, and whether Quran is sahih and true, and whether hadith is sahih and true? Therefore we find so many walking around and they look at Kalamullah, but they also have their doubts regarding many things that is in Kalamullah. They have many, many doubts as regards the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so on. As if Allah and His Rasul, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not have preserved Islam in its pristine purity. Ajeeb. Alright? So there it is. Shaitan also says that a sign of a Jahannami will be, he will express, he will say he believes in Allah and His Rasul, but it's not sincere. Subhanallah. It is not true. It comes, doesn't come. It only comes from the tongue. It starts from the ear, from the throat, and it comes out from here. Below this, reaching the heart, is a gap. There's no belief there. No sincerity there. Allahu Akbar. 17th point. 17th sign of people who go to Jahannam, of oppressing and denying others. Of oppressing others and denying others. Alright, brothers, there's a lot of interpretation to this. A person may be a landlord, supposed to be just towards his tenants, but he denies them their right. Because either he is unaware of the laws of Islam and the laws of Sharia when it comes to tenants, or otherwise he does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be obedient to the laws of Islam. So, Shaitan says, of oppressing and denying others their haq and their rights. Subhanallah. You know how far the law of akhuwa, for example, goes. The law of akhuwa says that you and your brother should be so close, that the Muslim ummah should be so close to one another, that if he is in any kind of trouble, your doors are open to him, your money is open to him, your everything is open to him, your wealth is open to him, everything what is yours is his. You are one, you're not two. That's how akhuwa, that is the meaning of akhuwa. Any case, 17th sign of those who will go to Jahannam, we do not even know the true meaning of brotherhood in Islam, of oppressing and denying others. 18th point, of being disrespectful towards those to whom respect is due, such as parents and elders, your teachers, etc., your ustads, ulama, awliya, and them are concerned, of being disrespectful towards those to whom respect is due. They will also go to Jahannam. These people who do not show respect to their parents, to whom respect is due, I mean, for the proper reasons and so on. 19th sign of those who will go to Jahannam, says Shaitan to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of living in expectation of goodness and good fortune without carrying out good deeds and pious acts. A person is a disobedient and rebellious Muslim, but yet he expects all the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to him as a Muslim. We Muslims have been promised. He benefits from society, he benefits from Muslim organizations and everything, but he does nothing good. It's like people who collect a certain sum of money from maybe the zakat fund or some welfare organization, but there's no input. Every month they expect their handouts, but they do nothing in return to show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person is perhaps paralyzed or whatever, and he says, well, I can't perform salah, and I can't do any work, and I'm useless, I can't do anything, etc., etc., and things like that, you know. Or a person is disillusioned, he can't find, he's unemployed, so he says, well, until I'm employed, I am not going to do anything. And so on. Things like that. That is what I'm talking about. Of living in expectation of goodness and good fortune without carrying out good deeds and pious acts. Number 20. Of living with greed and avarice and desire for the wealth of others. How often have we done so? Yes, we've been robbed by the white man, we've been plundered by the women, the laws of apartheid has denied us, we haven't received the education that we should have received, we could have had properties in major areas, in all the good areas, but the white man has flogged us, he's robbed us, he's denied us, he's oppressed us, and so on, as if it is the white man that has granted us property in this world, as if we're going to live in this world with properties forever and ever. That material objective and property and wealth and gain, that is what it means to a Muslim. We forget the white man is only an instrument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he, with what he is doing and what he has done, is more denied than us, is a kafir. I mean those that are. Alright? I'm not talking about all. Those who are Muslim, of course, they are our brothers. They lose their color. But that is how we act. And now we say, well, we want, what are we saying when we say that? It means we want their wealth, we want their materials, we want their luxury, we want, how often have we heard Muslims say also that we want to participate in all their things? Brothers, the ways of the kuffar is immoral. We want nothing from them, even if it was given to us, we want nothing from, we don't want their schools, we don't want their way of life, we don't want their education. They are a corrupt and immoral society. I am sorry for those who feel that way and will be going and enjoying with them and living equal with them, because their equality is not the equality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. We are not equal as Muslims. We don't look upon one another as such with the brotherhood that is due to us. What do we want to do with the kuffar? Anyway, brothers, here it is, the 20 of living with greed and avarice and desire for the wealth of others. That is kufr. And it is a sign of those who will go to Jahannam, because they are not satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put out for them. Number 21, of living a sinful, a deviant and a wicked life. Allahu Akbar. And once I was standing here at the Gatesville Center, and a Muslim came in, and he and another brother are discussing, but now he's speaking loud about his performances and his good life and the pleasures of how he has been to Sun City and how he gambled and tried his luck and played one-armed bandits and so on. You know, he's actually boasting and bragging about his deviant behavior. And the other man that's listening to him, I think they were a married couple that are listening to him, are so taken by surprise, they're so enchanted, they're just wishing when they will get a chance to go over and enjoy the same things. And I listen to this wicked talk and I think to myself, Ya Allah, is this what has become of the Ummah? Now who is doing this? Shaitan is doing this. Why is Shaitan doing it? Because he wants people to go into Jahannam. He is the chief, the Amir of Jahannam, and he's trying to lead as many people as possible into Jahannam. So he is making these people utter this type of talk. And here Shaitan is saying this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is how deviant, of living a sinful, deviant and wicked life. Number 22, of turning one's back to the truth. Allahu Akbar. Turning one's back, you go to a brother or a sister and you say, but what you are doing is wrong. And they say, but what do you know? They know you are a more learned man. They know you are a more pious man. And what you are telling is most true. They know it is the truth, and yet it's like going to a brother and telling him, look man, why have you got this wine in your home? Why have you got this in your cupboard? Right? Why are you drinking wine? Why are you using drugs? And so on and so on. And he just turns his back and he says, well, I can't help you. I'm not. That is from Shaitan, brothers. That type of thing I'm talking about. And of course, there's many other descriptions of that. So, of turning one's back to the truth was a 22nd deviant behavior, or 22nd sign of those who will go to Jahannam. 23, of turning away from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turning away from the Quran. You tell a person, look, this is the commandment. You quote him the ayat. You tell him this is it. You tell him where you learnt it. And the man simply ignores. He doesn't care a rap. He's not even bothered or worried. But brothers, it's going to take a long time. I feel some amount of interpretation is necessary as we go along. There's 57 points here. Time is going. It will be Maghrib soon. Some of us have to travel far. So we will end off here. And remember, there is about 50 of, after this question, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, what are the description and the signs of those who will go to Jannah? So Shaitan now explains all the description. That is also worth hearing. And as I say, this is a lengthy conversation. It's a short conversation, but my explanations that come in between are taking quite a bit of time. So we have probably another two lessons with regard to this particular conversation. Bear with me, brothers, it is very important. And after that, we start wrapping up the story of Shaitan's plan for man. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. But not a single political philosophy or policy of any government that does not believe in the pure worship of one God, one Allah, and follows the example of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is Muslim or non-Muslim. He came unto entire mankind. He came to believer and to disbeliever. The only economic and political direction, social direction to be followed by the world is that of Allah and His Rasul. We Muslims believe any other economic policy and any other political policy and any other social policy will never ever succeed. So if you want a direction, this is the direction. It can never, it will never. It may go on periodically, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years, and then it will flounder and it will end up in a mess. Always. Because there's too many loopholes, too many ways of stealing, too many ways of exploiting, and so on and so forth. Brothers, so as far as politics of the country is concerned, as far as the economic policies of government and opposition is concerned, none is ever going to succeed. We Muslims must espouse, by espouse meaning we must cherish our Islamic system. And we must say to all and sundry, and we must be proud because that is our deen. We must love Allah, we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beyond all else. Even if we are confronted by 99.9% of the world, we will say Allah and His Rasul. We will say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We will live for that, we will die for that. And that means an entire system, alright, an entire code of conduct, economy, politics, social philosophy, everything, moral life, social life, everything is dictated to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alright, so what I am saying is, do not try and side with this kuffar party or that kuffar party or this particular kuffar policy or that kuffar policy, whether it is called, no matter what, by what name it is called or what ism it is called, it is